the Lord was especially good to us tonight, that prayer, Brother Bobby. Thank God for him giving you the words and the heart to speak those things in the presence of the congregation and before the Lord. When one leads us in a word of prayer, sometimes we don't really recognize what that really means. We have access and can come boldly to a throne of grace that is into the courts of heaven itself and be heard by the Father through the intercession made for us by the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be able to have the movement of the Spirit in your heart to lead you, to give you words to speak and utterance, and be able to speak to the Lord, the Father, in words that are pleasing to Him and glorifying and honoring to Him. And that comes before the Lord like a sweet smelling savor, like the incense that filled the old law tabernacle and the old law covenant worship. Under the ceremonial law, the prayers and the songs of praise going up to the Lord is like a sweet smelling savor to Him. And we know that that would not be the case were it not covered in the blood of Jesus, because as sinners we couldn't even call upon a holy God. But because of Him washing us in His own blood, He's opened up a door and an access through Christ where we can petition the Lord and lay out not only your thanksgiving, but also ask Him for things that you stand in need of and be confident that He truly does hear us. Otherwise, we would be wasting our time with prayer. And we certainly know that prayer is not a waste of time. That's certainly something that's been evident in my life. We've got evidence of that tonight, don't we? That prayer is not a waste of time. The Lord has heard our prayer, heard our cry, and He's answered. Not all the way, just the way we want them. Sometimes it doesn't seem to work at all the way we want it, but in accord to His own will and to the good and the benefit of the Lord's people. All the works of God work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that's all the things that God does in our life. Every action of the Lord in our life is that way. If you have your Bibles, you probably don't need them to know this psalm, but I want to read it in your hearing. In Psalm 23, Psalm of David. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm in my life seems to get more valuable and more meaningful every day that I live and every time that I read it, because of the reality of what is being taught to God's little children in this psalm. It declares a belief from the psalmist David and from every little child of grace that truly says it from the heart, that there is a Lord who is, and that He is a personal Lord, and that He is the great shepherd of the sheep. I think of the total impossibility for us of our own, by our own efforts and through our own works and anything that we have done, of us ever being able to say what David said in the 23rd Psalm. You know, when we read that Psalm, it's very easy to read it. And yet if it has any meaning to you tonight, if you truly believe what it says, if you truly recognize that the Lord who is your shepherd is none other than the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and came to save His people from their sins, came for His sheep, and came to give them life and did that in His death at Calvary. If you can understand that, it is only by and through God's grace that you can. Because the scripture says, according to nature, none of us would make that declaration at all. So many in this world that are well-meaning try to go about and get people that don't know the Lord to know the Lord. try to get people that do not confess the name of the Lord to confess His name. And their belief is that if they can get those who don't know the Lord to know Him and get those who won't confess Him to confess Him, that there will be some sheep that are in heaven that would not have been sheep if they hadn't done that. The reality of the matter is the Lord, from the very foundation of the world and even before the foundation of the world, knew His people in covenant and knew them in a loving relationship. And they were His sheep that He made choice of and He elected even before the world began. If we're God's little sheep today, we've always been His sheep and we'll always be His sheep. And there's nothing that can separate the shepherd from His sheep. And if the Lord hadn't done that for us, if the Lord hadn't worked that in us, none of us would have any attraction or concern or love or want to even have a love or concern about the 23rd Psalm and what it says. That Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Bible says that no man will say that unless the Spirit of God moves in his heart and allows him to be able to see that. The psalmist also wrote a Psalm of David also in the 14th Psalm. He says, "The fool that said in his heart, there is no God." You know, that's where men would be without the Lord. That's where I would be tonight without the Lord. Somebody said, "Who's that talking about, a fool?" Well, it's talking about me and you without the Lord. It's what we would be by nature. It's where a man is. If God doesn't allow him to see or does not open his eyes to see or give him life or give him an ear to hear or a heart to understand that there's a God in heaven, the man that doesn't know those things will never be able to be taught by other men, by any man, woman, boy, or girl, no matter how much effort is put forth. You may come to some idea or thought about some idol or some vain thing in this world. You may even worship that. But I'm telling you, unless God opens your eye to know Him, you'll never know Him. The good news about that is that the Lord can do that for a little baby in its mother's womb, just as He could for one who's dying on a cross. And matter of fact, the Bible says that that little John the Baptist that was in his mother's womb leaped for joy in his mother's womb under the proclamation of the gospel. And we know sometimes babies kick for a lot of reasons. And one was kicking tonight and all it was doing, we know it was kicking because it was alive. And that's a good thing. We like to feel that movement because that's an evidence of life. But I'm telling you, this little baby just wasn't kicking because it was alive. But it was kicking because it heard the voice of the Son of God and it spoke even in a mother's womb and it had joy. John the Baptist, he had joy in the mother's womb there about the things of the Lord. And now who can do that? You know, somebody said, how could a baby have joy of being a baby? Well, I don't know, but I know God knows and I know that's what God says. And for me, that settles it. Somebody says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I'm going to tell you, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. I hope you believe it, but it does settle it if God says it. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So I'm thankful tonight to know that the Lord is the Lord, whether I believe it tonight or not. And no matter how many fools line up and vote or say otherwise, it will not change the fact that God is God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The reason that he says that is because he can't see him and he can't hear him and he will never know him unless the God of heaven reveals himself to him. And yet when the Lord does that, just like he did to that little John the Baptist or he did to a Nicodemus or he did to any other person that is able to see the workings of the kingdom of God, Nicodemus looked at Jesus and he says, "We know that you are a teacher, Rabbi, one who's come from God, because no man could do these things except God be with him." Listen, there was a lot of people that saw the workings of Jesus, and rather than attribute them to God, they attributed those works to Satan and said he did it by the power of the devil. The difference was, a Nicodemus evidently had been able and blessed to be able to see some things they could not see and know some things they could not know. And you know why? Because I believe he had been born. I know this, that no man will ever see the things of God unless he's first born from above. I had a little boy come to me this week in one of my classes, and he says things so funny. It just keeps me. It's like working at the Art Linkletter show. You know, the kids say the darndest things. And he came to me and he said, "Mr. Oots," he said, "when were you born the first time?" And I go, okay. I said, and that one little other adult in the room said, "Well, like you were born the second time." And I said, "I hope I was. I pray that I've been born the second time." You see, you must be born again. There is a first birth, a natural birth. But John talked about a new birth, a birth from above, being born again. Being born from above. Now, it's not a rebirth. I said that one time in my young ministry, and a preacher pulled me aside real quick and he said, "Don't use that word rebirth, because a rebirth is what Nicodemus said. Can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born? How can a man do that?" See, that would be a rebirth. It isn't a rebirth, it's a new birth. The first birth is a natural birth, where one is conceived, where life begins, and we got evidence of that right here in the room with us. And then if there's a delivery, and that little child is here, but that life begins at conception, and that's when you have life there, and that life is a precious life that's come from the Lord, and yet it takes another work of grace in order for that person to become spiritually alive. And I'm telling you, God can do that when He wants to. And no man can do it, no matter how much he wants to. No man can cause it to happen. No man can keep it from happening. It's the work of Almighty God. And that's the difference in what we believe as Old Baptists tonight. I hope and pray that's what we believe as Old Baptists tonight. Is that the work of regeneration is not something you and I and God have partnership in and bring about through any action on our part, but is one which we're totally and completely dependent upon a God who cannot fail. Why would I want to trust in a man who's sure to fail when I can trust in the God of heaven who cannot fail? And I believe this, and I believe you believe it. I hope you believe it. If you don't believe it, I hope you will believe it. I hope the Lord will bless you to be able to believe it. That every one of God's children in this world, that are born in this world, will at some time experience that new birth by the work of Almighty God, irregardless of any preaching or not preaching, work of man or not work of man. God does that, and He can do it in a mother's womb, and He can do it in the last second of a person's life before they leave this world. I know when He speaks, the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, and the Bible says, "And they that hear shall live." John 5:25, right in the book. You can't deny it. It's written right there. There are many people who say, "Well, that means the voice of the preacher." I believe if it meant the voice of the preacher, he'd have said the voice of the preacher, don't you? I believe if it had meant the voice of the evangelist or the voice of the Sunday school teacher or the voice of mama or daddy, it would have said the voice of some man speaking for the Lord. But no, it says the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And if you have any questions about that, then it goes on and says, "Marvel not at this, because there's a day coming when they'll hear His voice again, and all that are in the graves are going to come forth." Do you believe that's going to be the voice of the preacher that raises the dead? I don't. No, I believe that's going to be the voice of God. The voice of the Son of God. And there's going to be a shout. And somebody said it's going to be a secret. He's going to come in and snatch us away secretly. That isn't what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me He's coming with a shout. And the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel, that's the chief angel. I believe that's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, that voice is going to sound, and all that are in the graves are going to hear, and they're going to come forth, and there's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And one will be a resurrection unto eternal life and salvation in heaven, and the other is unto eternal judgment. And I like to talk about the one a lot more than the other, but I'm telling you, both of them are there. And as we sing, "Lord, may it be that I'm on thy right hand. When you would come and fetch thy children home, may I be found on your right hand." Because on His right hand are going to be the sheep. Now, the shepherd has some sheep. That's good. He's got some sheep. He has some Gentile sheep. He has some Jewish sheep. He has sheep out of every nation. He has out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people. And the shepherd of the sheep came to get his sheep. And he's not going to be satisfied with 99 out of 100. He's going to get all of them. He's not going to miss one. He's not going to lose one. He's not going to call. It's not going to be because some unfaithful man or woman or anyone else misses one of them. When he gets home to glory, the Father will be told by the Son, "Behold, I and the children that thou hast given me." You know how many of them? Every one of them. And it's not going to be just a little bunch of old Baptists. You know, some people claim that old Baptists believe it's just going to be this little bunch in heaven. That's because they haven't been around old Baptists or listened to us very much, because we know there's a people out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, out of really every denomination probably that we would know about. Of course, we're not to judge that. You know how much I know about who is and who isn't a child of God? Almost practically nothing. Other than when I can see some evidence. And you know what evidence I'm looking for? The fruit that the Lord said is the fruit of the Spirit. And He tells us that in Galatians. When you see the love of God, you see love, and you see the joy that comes from the Lord, joy, love, joy, peace that comes from the Lord. Love, joy, peace. When you see long suffering, and you see gentleness that comes from the Lord, and you see goodness, and you see faith, and you see meekness, you see those fruit of the Spirit, all that He's named, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness. I'm not getting them all, but you know, Galatians is right over there. Turn to it. And the fruit of the Spirit are these. And my mind's tired. I'll make that excuse. It's just weak. That's all it is. Aren't you glad you don't have to depend on me to get you to heaven? I might get you lost going across town. I'll tell you this. The Lord is the one we depend upon getting us to heaven. The mind that we have, we can lose it. The things I believe tonight, I might forget. There may be come a time in my life that I don't remember all these things. I may get where I can't remember who Jesus is. And I know this, that He won't forget who I am. If I am His, He won't lose me. And I'm telling you, my mind might snap, but my dependence in heaven and getting home to glory is not in what Gary's done. And I hope and pray it's not in what you've done. And I don't ever want it to be in what I've done for you or you've done for me. I want it to be in one place and one place only. That is in the one who will never lose anything. Everyone He came for, He'll have. And everything He came for them, it says, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And the will of the Father which has sent me, of all that He's given me, I'll lose nothing. I'll raise it up again at the last day." You know what that means? That means He'll raise all of it up. When we get home to glory, it won't be up there saying, my soul and my spirit is here, but my body, they couldn't find it. No. You know why? Because He knows right where every one of His children are. There are men that have been blown up, buried in the ocean. Lives have been lost. Mamas, daddies never find them. But I'm telling you, those that belong to the Lord, He knows. And matter of fact, He knows where every particle of dust in this world that belongs to one of His little children are. And one day He'll call that sleeping body forth, and the soul and the spirit that's with the Lord is going to come again, and there's going to be a resurrection, and that glorified body is going to rise, and the spirit and the soul and the body is going to reunite, and they're going to meet the Lord in the air. And those, and that could happen tonight, brethren. And those who are alive and remain are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. I'm telling you, we got a good shepherd, a great shepherd, a good shepherd. He said in John chapter 10, "Giveth his life for the sheep." I am the good shepherd. Jesus. Somebody said, "Well, I know, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not so sure about all this shepherd business." Listen, if you believe in Jesus, you have to believe He's the shepherd, because He said He was. He said, "I am the good shepherd." David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm telling you, Jesus says, "I am the Lord." You hear that? David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." What David was talking about is the Lord. David called Him Lord. And they said, "Well, you know, David, how could David call you Lord when David was before you?" He said, "Oh, no, you got that all mixed up. David saw my day. David called me Lord. He said, 'The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Brethren, tonight, if you belong to the Lord, what a blessing that is. Of all the blessings you have in your life, if you know Him, if you love Him, it's an evidence that He loved you. If somebody said, I want to love Him. Well, if you want to love Him, it's an evidence He loved you. If you want to, but somebody said, I hope I belong to Him. Oh, if you hope you belong to Him, it's an evidence you do belong to Him. Because see, the man of the world, remember what he says? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He even goes beyond that. He goes on and tells us all together we're corrupt. But then in the 10th chapter of the Psalms, of the 10th division of the Psalms in verse 4, he says this, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, if you have a desire tonight that the Lord who is in the 23rd Psalm is your shepherd, if that's your heart, that's your desire, then evidently there's something in you other than what's in man by nature, which he's completely and full of wickedness. How do you know that? Well, he says that again in that 14th Psalm. He says, this is repeated again in Romans chapter 3, but Romans chapter 3 is really just a repetition of what the psalmist wrote and said in the Old Testament. You see, man that was rotten in the New Testament was also rotten in the Old Testament. And guess what? He's still rotten today. And if it isn't for the grace of God, we would remain in that corrupt condition and there'd be no hope for us. That's why all of the doctrines of this world that try to get men rotten, that are rotten to be better in order that they can be God's children fail. Because and they will not, you'll have no peace in them, because it takes God to clean up the mess that we are. It takes God to pay the sin debt that only He could pay. It takes God to reach down into the dunghills and lift us up and put a new song in our mouth and put our feet upon a rock and give us praises unto God. It takes the Lord to make you say, the Lord is my shepherd, from your heart. It takes God. And you know how much trouble God has doing it? No more than He did causing little John the Baptist to leap, or to cause a thief dying on a cross to say, Father, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Just a few minutes before that, little thief was just cursing right along with the other thief and said, if you be the Son of God, if you be who you say you are, get us off this cross. The very thing that they asked Him to do, He could not do. He could do it, but He did not do. He would not do. You know why? Because He came to die on that cross. He had to die on that cross. If He hadn't died on that cross, there would be none of us who would have life. There, none of His sheep would have been saved. He came to save His sheep. And that was necessitated His death. And He had to be one of us. He came as the Son of Man. And He came as our friend, as our elder brother. Oh, Jesus is our shepherd, but He's many things other than just our shepherd. We can't. Jesus, there's that hymn that you call today, Jesus is all the world to me. What is it that Brother Barney said? Brother Bill Stevens says, Jesus is my all in all. And He really is. Tonight I was looking at that hymn. I believe it's 218 in our hymn books, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. It says, Jesus, my shepherd, my husband, my friend, my prophet, my priest, my king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. John Newton wrote that, and he... from the heart. I believe John Newton knew the Lord is my shepherd, don't you? You know how John Newton knew that? Because God from heaven opened his eyes and his mind and his heart and allowed him to look into the Word of God and see and understand these things. He had life before he ever looked into the Scripture. The Scripture brought the life that he had been given by God to light as he came to an understanding of that. And that's what's happening to us tonight as we hear about the Lord. You see, he's my shepherd. My shepherd, my Lord, my life, my way, my end. My husband. Is Christ our husband? Oh, as part of the bride, He's our husband. Remember the Scripture? But Sharon always asked me to remember it. I asked her for a verse. I don't ask her too much anymore, but it used to be, especially when I first began to preach, I said, honey, I need a text. Can you give me a text? She said, husbands, love your wives. Said it over and over. Has always meant a lot to me because she said, husbands, love your wives. That's a good text. course, the other says, wives, submit yourself unto your husband. I'd always come back with that, but it didn't just stop there, though, does it? It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Listen, a husband who loves his wife like that doesn't have any, a wife doesn't have any trouble. When a husband loves his wife like that, a wife doesn't have any trouble submitting unto that kind of man, because he's willing to die for her. I'm telling you, Jesus died for us. Most of us, when we go for a wife, go for a pretty one. We try to pick one out. You know, we want a pretty one. Jesus, his bride, if you read about her in the Old Testament, she's cast out into an open field. She's nothing lovely or beautiful about her. As a matter of fact, she's defiled and polluted. She doesn't have any beautiful garments or anything to wear. She's naked and really she's dead. And he comes at a time of love and he says, live. And then he clothes her up and he dresses her and he cleans her up. And what is that talking about? It's taking us who are in our sins and in the filth that we would be in by nature. He took that payment in his own body. He's not only our husband, he's our prophet and our priest. Hear me. He was the sacrifice, and he was also the priest who offered the sacrifice. And he cleaned her up, and he made her beautiful. Listen, y'all are beautiful tonight. You're beautiful to me. I love you. I'm going to tell you that. I love you. I love to see the brethren. Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. And I'll tell you, unless you've really seen that, you don't know what that song's about. But when you see a body of believers, some of them might be coming in on walkers, some of them might be crippled and hopping, and some of them might be young and lively, some of them might be in all kinds of ways. But when you see them coming in, and they at once they sing, and at once they pray, they hear of heaven and learn the way. I'm telling you, it's a delightful place to see. And yet it would not be possible if the husband hadn't loved the bride and cleaned her up and put her in beautiful garments. You and I tonight have a beautiful garment to put on. We have the breastplate of righteousness, which is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his cleansing effect, and the righteousness of Christ we have to put on. We have the truth. I want you to wear the truth. I want you to remember this. I want you to remember your Savior as you go out in this world. Remember he's with you. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Somebody said, well, does that mean a death door? It could mean that, but it also could mean that some of the darkest, most difficult times you've ever had in your life. Sometimes you feel like I ain't no up out of this. You get in a mess. I want you to know, when you remember your shepherd, you can say, in that darkest time, I will fear no evil. You know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. That's not arrogant. That's humbling. That's saying he's my... You know why he's your shepherd? Listen, if I got a hold to him and he's my shepherd because of me, then I'd have something to be boastful in. And that's why so much religion in this world is full of boasting. If your religion is full of boasting, you do not have true religion. And you may be completely sincere. You may belong to the Lord. You may love him and want to be following him. But if it causes you to find a place where you can be prideful and get lifted up in yourself, you're missing the mark. And it doesn't matter whether your name is Old Baptist or something else. Whatever it is, you got trouble when you find a place for you to boast. I've even lost the thought on all of that, where I was going with that. But that's all right. True religion will humble you, because you recognize the only right I have to him as my shepherd is not what I did in getting him, it's in what he did in getting me. I'm his shepherd because he made choice of me as one of his sheep. He made me, I didn't make him. Somebody said, make the Lord, Jesus, the Lord of your life. Listen, Jesus is the Lord of every one of his little sheep's lives. Now, they ought to, in their heart, put him in that place. But I'm telling you, he's already on the throne. You can't lift him up any higher. You can't make him any more Lord than he is. You and I ought to acknowledge that. That's a humbling thing. It's not something he's waiting on us to do. Some people say he's pleading. No, listen, he speaks and it's done. That's who he's the one who spoke this world into existence. And he's not just a shepherd. He's the shepherd. He's not just a king. He's the king. He's not just a prophet. He's the prophet. He's not anything. He's the everything. He is my life. He's my way. He's my end. He's my all in all. Jesus is all the world to me. I pray he is to you. I believe he is tonight. I just see you. That's why you're beautiful. Thank the Lord. And I'm happy in the Lord for that, because I know if the Lord hadn't cleaned you up, you wouldn't have any of this any more than the world would have it. You wouldn't want it. You wouldn't care about it. You wouldn't want to hear it. You'd say, I've had enough of that. Far too religious for me. But no, I need it, don't you? I need it. I need it not only tonight, I'm going to need it tomorrow when I go face the little young ones and they come in. I'm going to need it the next day and on Wednesday when, you know, you have a challenge at the home or you have some other thing come up in your life. I need to remember the Lord is my shepherd. I need to remember His rod and His staff. They comfort me, which means His Word, it acts like a hook and brings me back sometimes when I'm wanting to run off. It corrects me when I get complacent. It'll stir me up. It'll prod me and cause me to move. It'll also keep me under control so I don't wander off everywhere. Like Brother Jamie said, it'll girdle you. You know, pull you in a little. It brings you in. Brings you back. He keeps the sheep in a fold, doesn't he? He guides them and leads them by His truth. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need another shepherd, do you? That's all the shepherd I need. And matter of fact, He's the one who's blessed me with the blessings I have temporally. That's in time. And He's the one who gives me a hope of heaven. He's the one who blessed me with the food that's on my table, the health that I have. He's the supplier of all my natural needs. If I'm in trouble, I've got Him I can go to. And I'm telling you, He's a friend. He is my friend. Oh, isn't it good to have your Savior as your friend? He's your friend. And He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. And there's no greater love than a man can show than he give his life for his friends. I'm telling you, our friend has shown us a love beyond any other love. Not only were we his friends when he died for us, but even when we were his enemies, he died for us. Oh, what a shepherd. What a Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I used to kind of envision this like he forces you to do it, you know. Kind of like a parent bringing a kid to church and he says, you got to come, but I don't want to go. I got to go because, boy, if I can ever get the chance to get out of here, I will. And it's you coming because I'm making you. No, that's not the way the Lord does. Somebody says the Lord won't force you to do anything. Now, I want you to rightly understand this because He does cause you to do things you would not do, but He doesn't do it in the sense of an outward force. He works on the inside and causes a change. All of a sudden, it's not, I'm coming because I have to. It's, I'm coming because I want to. It's a realization that I need Him. I'm reading my Bible because I need to learn more about Him. I'm praying because I need to talk to Him. I want to hear more about Him. I want to sing those songs. I want to pray. I want to look to Him. I want to be better. I don't love the things I used to love. I've got a different taste now. Oh, it doesn't mean the old nature still doesn't like it, because there's that old satisfaction that comes in the flesh. Listen, there's a battle. Galatians, I believe it is 5, isn't it, that tells about the fruit of the Spirit. It also tells us of the works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are these. You see, you and I got both of those. We got the old flesh to contend with, don't we? That's the old part of you right now that's probably saying, I guess he's going to keep on talking a while. I'm hurting a little bit here. And, you know, feel like I got some corns, you know, the old flesh that you deal with. The old spirit says, oh, keep on. The flesh says, I'm weary, I'm tired. It's part of me tonight that said, kind of in myself, and I'm ashamed of it right now. If I could just rest tonight, wouldn't have to go out tonight, we could just, you know, it would be real easy. Nobody would think much of that. I'm telling you tonight, I wouldn't have wanted to miss what we've had. It may be the last meeting we ever have in this world. He may come tonight. If he does, it'll be a great way to go home. I wouldn't want to miss that. And I'll tell you, I've missed too much of my life about that. I want you and I to realize every day God is with us. Every day. He's given you. One of the little sisters said, just riding down the highway, look at that picture. Oh, the beautiful landscape. I wonder who painted that. Listen, you know he paints one every day for you? You get up in the morning, he's painting it every day. Everywhere you go, he's painting. Most of the time we're too busy to look at it. Sometimes we've got to, I got to get here and do this. Got to get this. I got to get there. I got to get this done. I got to get there. I got to go. I don't have time to look at that. I'm telling you, brethren, every day the Lord gives us is a day worth living. And it's a blessing from the Lord. And when we walk with the understanding that he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And you walk hand in hand with him. I'm telling you, we got that old flesh to contend against and fight down. But you keep it as much as you can under subjection. So that you might, as Brother Bobby said, that I realize you with me. And when I'm thinking about my son or I'm thinking about anything else, I realize this comes from the Lord. And I want to give God the praise for my family. I want to give God the praise. I don't want to worship my family, but I want to thank God who gave me my family. I want to be thankful for them. Thankful I got what I got rather than complain about what I don't have. You remind me of that about Tuesday or Wednesday. It might be before then. Sometimes you're in your highest point. Have you ever found this? I thought about this today with Jesus. Jesus, right after his baptism and the Spirit of God had descended upon him as a dove and the voice of heaven was heard, immediately after that high time, which was a glorified time, he went right out into the desert to be tempted of the devil. Sometimes in these sweetest meetings, you're going to get hit the hardest when you get in the car. You watch it, because the old adversary will want you. He can't get you eternally, but he'd like to mess up your life. He'd like to fool you. And I know some of God's little children, I believe they're God's little children that have been fooled. And they think they have a light that is a darkness. And they think they have peace that is no peace. And you say, how could you say that? Somebody would say, aren't you being judgmental? I'm not saying it. Jesus said it. Jesus says, I am the way. If they're not in that way, they're out of the way. Jesus said, I am the light. If they're not in his light, they're in the dark. And it doesn't matter who, if it's me or you or anyone else, there isn't a bunch of ways. There isn't a bunch of lights. There isn't a bunch of ways to God. There's one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Either that, or he's not at all. He's not. We just close this book. Everything I've said tonight's a lie. I don't believe that, do you? Matter of fact, I know. I've walked with him and talked with him, and I felt him. I have felt the touch of his hand. I've felt it in a hospital room. I know he's been there. I've seen it in the hearts of hard-hearted people, and they couldn't hide it, though they tried. I've seen it. I've seen him work where I couldn't work. I've seen things I thought wouldn't happen. He did it. Have you? How many times? And that's our shepherd. I'm not near where I want to be, but time's gone and I'm done. I'm not done, but I need to be. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the kind of shepherd we have tonight. And not because we got him, but because he got us. And that's a whole lot more peace to rest with. If we got him, we'd have to hold on to him. I might let loose. Matter of fact, I would let loose if it was left up to me. But it's not, is it? He's got us. May the Lord help us to see that more and more and trust in him more and more. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. We love you. I love you, my brother. Bless you.